Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
KMOX is at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service. Now, here's your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Brian Kelly, and welcome to the second hour of the Garden Hotline. Tip of the trowel I'll be giving shortly, but right now you can call 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 to get in line with your questions, comments, or concerns. And by the way, thanks for having me on your show. And we can talk about plant selections, cares, ups and downs, and all arounds for your annuals. Speaking of annuals, I thought all the annuals would have been wiped out, you know, because we've had some pretty cold mornings and things like that. But some petunias, I walk through the neighborhood a lot. Somebody had a pot of petunias, probably in a 12 or 14 inch pot. The petunias look fantastic. The flowers look good. The foliage look good and everything else. And it was sitting out fully exposed to the weather. So I didn't realize petunias were quite that tough. It totally caught me by surprise. And because most of the annuals they're gone. But how about your bulbs? Yes, you got plenty of time to get those spring flowering bulbs in the ground regardless of the type. Cool season vegetables, yep, keep watering them, keep caring for them. Your ground covers, your house plants, your lawn, your perennials. If you've got mums that have flowered, whether you bought them recently, and if you bought them recently in pots, in bud, the chances of them surviving the wintertime, even if you put them in the ground, is still going to be iffy. But if you've had mums that you've been growing for a couple years, just leave the foliage, there. Regardless of what, you can cut the flowers off because you don't necessarily want to look at the flower, let's say spent flowers, but leave the foliage because that's going to act as a living mulch. Don't cut your broses back. It's too early. It hasn't been cold enough. Your shrubs, your trees, your vines, and or your water gardens. I'll share my thoughts, but always remember my answers, comments, and opinions is not the only garden path to take. And it's just an option for you to consider. Greg is producing today, and during the week, I do something I call a walk and talk, which is landscape consultation at your home. If you'd like to schedule a walk and talk or give it as a gift, you can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com, the homepage. There's my email address and phone number, and you can get a hold of me, and we can schedule a time, or I can send you a gift certificate if you like. And I'll share 40-plus years of experience related to your home's landscape, your plants, care, maintenance, and everything else. And speaking of 40-plus years, the tip of the trowel goes out to Peggy Cohill. Peggy Cohill has been here at KMOX for 40-plus years. She retired just the other day. And Peggy has, I mean, she's a pillar of this place. She set the tempo for so many different things, information-wise and everything else. She produced Charles Brennan's show, but also she was responsible for scheduling and keeping everything coordinated and moving smoothly. So it's going to be very interesting to see how things are going to work once Peggy has gone and she has left now. But 40-plus years of coming, I'm assuming she still lives in Collinsville, and consequently, her husband and Tracy and I and her, we used to go out occasionally and have some, you know, fun and things like that. And then we just got too old. We didn't want to go all the way over. No. Just, you know, things change and who knows what. But anyway, so Peggy Cohill of KMOX retires 40 plus years here at the station. And a tip of the trowel goes out to her. And also the tip of the trowel goes out to Two Doors Down Charlie. He lives south of our home, two doors down on Carlsbad. But anyway, doesn't really matter. But he works at the airport, but he works like the 11 to 7 shift. So consequently, a lot of times he has to sleep during the day, so he has to get up, and this time of year, it's dark, you know, like at 4:30 or 5. So he was out blowing leaves off the, you know, out of the street, back into the park, and consequently, so he's very conscientious about leaf control and things like that. And he even goes beyond his house. He does the neighbor that's in between the two of us. He even does, you know, part of our, let's say we're on a corner, but the front of our house, he goes out there and he blows the leaves back into the park. So Two Doors Down Charlie, he gets a tip of the trowel as well as Peggy Cohill. Tracy was saying, who's out there blowing after dark? And I said, well, it's got to be Charlie because, you know, this is the time of the, you know, when he can do it because he's sleeping during the day because he worked overnight at the airport. So, tip of the trowel, yes, it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Mike Miller, KM Morris Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Yes, folks, first call of this hour, Dee Dee, who lives in Illinois. Hi, Dee Dee.
Hello.
Hi.
I would like to know of a flowering, climbing vine besides a clematis and a wisteria. And also, I would like to know what how I should treat my Christmas cactus to bloom at Christmas. Thank you.
Okay. Christmas cactus, you don't have to do anything exceptional with it. You know, just take care of it just so the leaves look healthy and everything else. Sometimes it's a sequential thing. Hopefully you've been using a fertilizer for cactus plants. It'll say right on there for cactus, which is very low analysis. Don't over-fertilize because that can push it past where you want it to be. But as far as a perennial vine goes, and you don't want clematis, you don't want wisteria, there's a great trumpet honeysuckle, which is red. It's not the honeysuckle shrub. It's a vine. It's evergreen. That would be one of the ones I would really consider. So red trumpet honeysuckle vine is a very good vine to have. Like I said, the foliage is evergreen. The flowers are probably like an inch, maybe an inch and a half. And they're red on the outside with yellow centers. And they're very attractive to hummingbirds, too.
Also, you said not to cut back my roses, and I've already did it. What should I do?
Well, you're going to have to get those cuttings. And no, just you've already done it, so you've already done it. So there's nothing you can do. It's just, you know, in the future, if you've had great success with your roses, you've always cut them back, you know, early. That's not to say it's, you know, you can't do it. It's not going to kill them necessarily. It's just you're just helping the roses get stronger and stronger by not cutting them back. But if you've had success with them, then you can't argue with success.
Thank you.
Yep. See you, Dee Dee. And now let's go to Nancy's yard, and Nancy lives in Baldwin. Hi, Nancy. Hello, Nancy. Are you there? Guess Nancy's not there. We're heading north.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I must have hit a button. Anyway, I was wondering if you could tell me, I have a ginkgo tree that's about 6 feet tall, and I was wondering, can I transplant that? I put it too close to the other trees, and it just doesn't have much room to grow.
Ooh, yeah, because they get huge. Now, they're very slow growing, so unless you, you know, feel like you got to do it for the, you know, the safety or whatever of the ginkgo, yes, you can do it. I would not do it, you know, like I say, going into wintertime, I don't like to dig up stuff and transplant it because tearing up the root system. But sometime next year, you know, early spring, late winter, you could dig it up at that time.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yep, and a six-foot ginkgo tree. Let's see, that's probably about, well, you know how big they get. They get huge. And hopefully it's not a female ginkgo. I don't think they sell the females anymore, but the females produce a fruit that is really nasty smelling. So it's hopefully a male ginkgo. Great.
Yeah, this one's a male, so I could transplant it maybe in March, you're thinking?
Yeah, late February, early March would be perfect.
Wonderful. Oh, thank you so much.
Certainly. And anybody else has any questions, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We're headed north from Baldwin to Florissant into Mary's Yard. Hi, Mary.
Mike, I was calling to find out. You said something about mums.
Mm-hmm.
So we just planted some mums probably early September, and they have flowered. But I was instructed to cut them like 4 inches from the ground and put mulch on top. You're telling me that's not accurate?
Well, I'm not saying it's not accurate. I'm just saying that's not what I'm recommending. I'm saying you can cut the spent flowers off, but I would leave as much of the foliage as you possibly can. You could put some mulch around it, but I don't like to bury anything at all. Also, to find out if these are actually going to come back next year, look at the base right where they're in the ground. You should see some brand new little leaflets right at the ground level. And if you don't see these little leaflets, the chances of them coming back next year is going to be minimal at best.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for the information.
Sure. And I mean, there's a, like I say, mine is not the only garden path to take. I speak strictly from personal experience. That's what, you know, I base most of my answers. And I can't honestly say I've had experience with everything, but I've been fooling around with this stuff for quite a while. So anyway, thanks, Mary. And now let's go to Pat, and Pat lives in Melville. So we're going north to south. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I have questions about the landscaping package that I was given with my brand new villa that I just moved into. It included sod, 9 bushes, and a tree, and mulch. Now, the sod was just laid 3 days ago.
Woo.
The only thing they told me to do is keep it wet for 2 weeks. And that's it. And I said, well, should I put a sprinkler on it? And he said, no, just water it with a garden hose for 2 weeks. And it'll be fine. So in the tree, they told me to give it a gallon of water every day for 6 months.
Whoa.
Okay. My question is, do I have to do this all through the winter? And then the bushes, they told me to water them every day. Give them count to 60 with each bush, and give them for every day for 2 weeks, which I did, and then for eight more weeks once a week. Okay, so I'm not sure this with the sod. You know, I said, do I put the sprinkler on the sod, or they said, no, just water it with a garden hose for 2 weeks and keep it wet.
You don't want to keep it wet. You want to keep it damp.
Keep it wet. Huh?
Yeah,
oh,
you want
to keep it damp.
Yeah.
Keep it damp. Okay.
Yes.
That might maybe be what that meant. I don't know.
Okay, so
do
what's
you think that's okay if I just keep it damp for 2 weeks?
Sure. I don't think you got to water for however long they said.
Uh-huh.
And you can use a sprinkler if you want to, just making sure that it gets equally, you know, each piece of sod is getting equal moisture. And what you can do is you can wait until, just go out there, you know, after a couple weeks, pull on the grass blades and see if they resist. If they're starting to resist, that means the roots have started to penetrate into the ground, and then consequently you can back off on this watering. And you know, whatever they said about watering for 6 months through the wintertime.
No, that was a tree.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, that's crazy.
Oh, the tree. Okay, so the tree doesn't need a gallon of water every day for 6 months.
Well, if you want, maybe they told you that because you want to give up your gym, your membership to a fitness club or something. But that's that's totally crazy.
Okay.
But I mean, you want to make sure that it's just, you know, for the first 2 weeks, you know, the root system's well hydrated. Then the ground's still warm, so you should get some new growth going. But I would, you know, for 6 months, I never heard of anything like that before.
Yeah, that's what they said with the tree. It's a gallon of water every day for 6 months.
So, yeah, probably
so
what
I've
it is.
Given it a gallon of water every day. It was planted in October, the middle of October. Okay. So I've given it a gallon of water, except when it rained, I didn't go out there and get
sure,
water.
Right.
So do I need to keep watering it, you know?
I would say no.
No, okay. And the bushes, how about the bushes now? I gave them, every day I watered them for 2 weeks, and now it's been about three more weeks, and I've been giving them once a week. Now, do I need to keep watering them, too?
I would say if they've been in the ground that long,
Since the middle of October.
Yeah.
Also.
What kind of shrubs are they? Are they evergreen or deciduous? Do they lose their leaves?
Both. There's several different kinds.
Do they look healthy?
Yeah, they look healthy. Uh-huh.
I would say then, you know, back off on the watering.
Okay.
Save yourself the grief.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Right.
And
if, you know, if the company then install them, if they come back to you and say, did you do exactly what we say? Just say, yes, I did. Yes, I did. Don't say that Garden Hotline guy. No, sorry. Anyway, Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Weekday mornings, 9 to 11. It's 2 hours of Charlie Brennan.
Hey, Charlie.
120 minutes of conversation you need to hear. 7,200 seconds of what's important to you.
I think you're 100% right on.
It may seem a short time, but Charlie squeezes so much into it. And you get so much out of it.
You're the number one guy in St. Louis, Charlie, because you talk about these things.
The Charlie Brennan Show, where every minute counts. Weekday morning starting at 9 on KMOX. Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service on KMOX.
Yes, folks, back to the phones we go. We're headed to, I think we were in South County. We're going to stay there and go into Fran's yard, though. Hi, Fran.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good.
Okay, I've got a big problem with my yard. I don't have any grass left. It's been going on for probably about the last year and a half. My husband always took care of the grass. I know nothing about taking care of a yard, but I did have a guy come out and he'd spray fertilizer on it and broadleaf, blah, 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 whatever that was. And it's just dried up. Long, stringy stuff in the front and the back, but the back is, of course, larger and it's worse. I need somebody to actually... Oh, and it also is, when you walk on it, it's like ruts. So I couldn't figure out what it was, and I thought, well, maybe because there's no grass there, there's no root system, so all I have is dirt and mud underneath, and it's all going to slide down, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So the front yard is kind of going down to the street, and I need somebody to come out and tell me and how much it's going to cost, what I can do. I have somebody cut it. I have, you know, I don't know. I just did what they told me. So, but it's not working.
Yeah, it sounds horrible. And for somebody to just come out and keep fertilizing and putting weeds, you know, weed killer and stuff like that, when you don't have anything there that's virtually alive, doesn't make any sense. Give the people at Allen's Tree Service a call.
Allen Tree Service?
Yeah.
They do lawns, and this is a reputable place. I don't need people come out, tell me, and then, you know.
Well, so Allen's Tree Service, I've known these people for like 10-plus years.
Okay.
And so they do more than trees. They do landscape. They do lawns and other things.
Okay. Would they give me, like, what I have to do and an estimate? Because I don't think they'd do anything this year yet.
Yeah. I mean, it's up to them. They may, you know, they're still doing certain things, you know, related to lawns, but have them come out and take a look. They're not going to just shove something down your throat just because, you know, they want to get it done, they want to make money or whatever else.
Right.
They're very, very conscientious.
Okay. Do you have their phone number?
Yes. 636-332-5535.
5535.
And just tell them, you know, that you talked to me on the radio and, you know, Gary and Diane and Kevin and all the rest of the people, and, you know, I know I've known them for a long time, like I said.
Yeah. Okay. The yard is just really, I mean, it's embarrassing.
Right. It's not going to.
We've always had a nice lawn and, you know, my husband was really good at that. And,
right.
But he's no longer with us, so.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. There's no getting around
it. It's a big yard.
Yeah.
So. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yep, good luck, Fran. And let's go a little further south to Festus into Ray's yard. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I think you might answer some of my question, but
I was had the lawn problem, the same thing, and I was wondering, can you lay sod now this time of the year?
Yeah, as long as you get the soil prepared before you lay the sod. So you can't just start laying pieces of sod. You got to get the ground worked up so, you know, the root system of the sod can get, you know, penetrating into the soil. But as long as the garden centers are still selling sod, then you can still lay sod.
Okay, I had sod on it once before, and then it got away. And then that sod, they put that twine in there. You got to get all that out of there, too?
Just whoever's going to do it, let them decide if they can just rake it to get rid of it. So, let them, whoever.
You got to take the old weeds out and everything, right? You got to scrape it down to dirt and put some topsoil on there?
Yeah, topsoil compost mix.
Okay. And can that be done up until even when the ground's frozen?
No, because probably you're not going to find sod available. So in other words, the sod farms where sod is grown, they're going to stop cutting sod when the ground freezes. So that's why I'm saying as long as the regular garden centers have sod for sale, then you're fine. If not, what that means is the sod farms have decided not to harvest anymore, cut any more sod. So that's why there's none available. They just don't think it's advisable.
Okay. And a question on when you said something about cutting back the roses, not the right time.
Right.
That include knockout roses?
That includes all roses.
Okay. So I've already cut mine back. Is there a chance I've damaged them?
No, you're probably fine.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yep, good luck with that. Yeah, but, I mean, the sod, just laying sod on top of just horrible ground, it's all compacted. There's a reason why your lawn is dead. So you can't just lay it down on top of what there is existing. You're going to have to probably improve the soil. But thanks, Ray. And now let's come back to Baldwin for the second time today and go into Judy's yard. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Thanks for your show. We love it. I have a hydrangea tree. It's about 4 feet tall,
right,
loaded with blooms for the second year. Do I cut those blooms off or do I just leave them?
Well, so it's your option. They're just going to hang there. They're going to be brown for the rest of the wintertime. And, you know, it's truly not a hydrangea tree. It's a PG hydrangea, which is a shrub variety that has just been pruned to have a single trunk. So just understand, it doesn't make that much difference. But yeah, you can cut them off because, I mean, they're not all that attractive for the wintertime.
Right. Do I do it now or can I wait till the spring?
No. Well, it's either way. If you want to look at them for the entire, you know, wintertime, that's fine. It's your personal choice.
Okay.
Just do it before the new growth. Yeah. Do it before the new growth begins in the springtime.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
Yep. You too. And I mean, new growth leaf and everything else. So again, that's why I go to the Valentine's Day, Ides and Marks circumstance. Bob's driving around. Who knows where? Hi, Bob.
Hey, Mike. Good morning.
Hi.
We had some herbs out in my wife's garden, and we put them in a big pot this morning. What should I put in there besides the soil?
You should use potting mix and not soil.
Okay, so the soil that was around the herb should not go into the pot?
Well, it can, but, you know, sometimes they don't. First of all, what are you going to do with the pot?
Well, we're bringing it aside, you know, next to a window.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, soil inside, you don't really, it may be full of, you know, roly-polies, it may be full of this, it may be full of that. I mean, you can go ahead and do it and bring it inside, just, you know, be conscious of it, but I'd certainly mix some, you know, potting mix in with this. And maybe even because herbs really like a very well-drained soil, maybe get a, you know, like a potting mix for cactus plants. So in other words, it'll save cactus potting mix on the bag. Mix that in with the existing soil.
So what do you, like half and half, Mike, on the potting mix?
It all depends on how big the pot is and everything else. But that would be ideal. But just realize that sometimes when you do that, you can kind of tear up the root systems a little bit.
Sure. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Yep. But well-drained soil and very sunny location. So that would, in the future, what I do is just grow my herbs in pots. That way you can just bring the pot inside rather than digging them up out of the ground because, seriously, you don't know what you're going to bring inside. It's not going to be anything that's going to kill you or anything like that. But it's, just regular dirt from outdoors inside with plants doesn't work so well. So thanks, Bob. And Now let's go to Dennis in Chesterfield. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Very good.
Two questions. First one is regarding a crimson maple tree that we had put in early October. It has about a 2.5-inch diameter trunk.
Mm-hmm.
About a week after they planted it, of course, we were told to water it, which we did. But about the top third of the leaves just turned brown, wilted, looked like they were dead. The bottom two-thirds of the tree did turn colors like they should.
Right.
And obviously dropped because of the fall. What do you think the odds are of this tree coming back full bloom in springtime?
You know, it's a little difficult to say, but probably there just wasn't enough root system, you know, feeder roots to uptake enough moisture and nutrients and to be able to pump it up through the, you know, to the veins of the tree to keep the top viable. So you may end up with a top third that died off. It may not leaf back out. That might just have to be pruned out. I don't know how tall the tree is. I don't know if you can get up there. But what you can do is just, you know, if you can get up to it, the area where the leaves turn brown, and just cut off a couple small twigs, you know, like a foot long, and bring them inside and just, you know, take a look at them, maybe even stick them in a glass of water and see if you can see any bud growth at all. And that way you can find out if these probably are going to be viable or not. There's nothing, don't over prune it, don't do anything, just leave it alone for the most part. But I'm just saying, you know, cut off these small twigs just so you can get some kind of idea of what might be happening. Also, you can just take your fingernail on these two twigs that you cut off and just with your thumbnail, just scrape the bark a little bit and see if it's green underneath the bark. If it's still green, then that twig is still viable. That doesn't mean all the rest of them are still viable, but at least you know there is still some, let's say, livability in the top part of the tree.
Okay, sounds good. We do have a guarantee on the tree, so if it doesn't come back out, I guess they'll come plant another one.
Right. Okay. But, you know, probably if two-thirds of it leafed out, everything was fine, that's, you know, that two-thirds is probably okay. It's just that one-third that the foliage dropped off early, that's, you know, not necessarily a good sign. But good luck.
Okay, very good. One more quick question.
Sure.
My daughter is in the process of selling her house. She had some landscapers come out and do a complete yard cleanup. Before she knew it, they had basically lowered her hydrangeas to about 6 inches above the ground. They were about 3.5 feet tall, always in full bloom. I know they won't bloom next spring, but are they going to survive or not?
It's, you know, it's tough to say. They certainly may. It may be fine. But if they've, you know, always bloomed in the springtime, she'll know real soon. Probably the, you know, the first year they're not going to bloom because they've been cut back so, you know, so severely. But they may, you know, they may flower if everything just goes just exactly, you know, weather-wise and everything else just right. But it's a very iffy circumstance when they've been pruned back that severely.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and enjoy your show.
Sure. Thanks for having me on your show, and 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, here's Mike Miller on KMOX.
Yes, folks, back to the phones we go. We're staying in Chesterfield and going over to Frank's yard this time. Hi, Frank.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I'm surprised you can get anything in about plants with all the commercials you got. They had to put you on for another 2 hours because they probably pay for a whole day's worth of time there.
That's true.
Three questions. One, burning bush has been trimmed back, and they look terrible, and obviously there's nothing left on the branches anymore.
Right.
Will they come back next year, and should I just leave them alone?
You can leave them alone if you want to. Just if you're going to prune them, go ahead and prune them. They're tough and durable. Normally, I say don't prune going into wintertime, but you know the burning bush can probably take it without any kind of problems whatsoever related to weather. Or you can just wait until next, you know, let's say late winter, early spring, and prune at that time.
Okay. Another thing, I've got three burning rose bushes. Knockouts.
Okay.
And neither one of them have have done anything. In fact, one of them is half of its like dead branches on it. Should I wait till it's cold and then just cut those? They're only 2 feet high now.
Really?
And I've got some out in the front yard that are 5 foot tall, so I don't understand that.
Well, I would say the ones that are not doing well have not really probably been planted in a great place, either that or it's sun-related or something. The ones that don't look good, I would, you know, unless you really like them a lot and you want to fool around with them, I'd get rid of them.
Okay. One other thing, I had a kid help me trimming some bushes, and I was out of sight for a little while, and he took a holly tree that's 8 foot tall and trimmed it up about 3.5-4 feet. Can I get any branches on the lower side, the side of grafting them?
Whoa. I mean, you're not even going to be able to graft. It's just going to be a, you know, sort of an iffy type thing. You're just going to have to sort of wait and see what happens.
The chances of anything growing back down there is pretty slim, right?
Pretty much, yes. Because the branches that are higher up are overshadowing the stuff that's lower down.
Right.
So that's, you know, if you're not getting good light there, even if it produced growth, it wouldn't be healthy twig growth or anything else.
Right. Well, okay, if you haven't seen a good leaf storm, a minute ago I couldn't see across my 30-foot backyard because of the leaves blowing. And then it started to rain, and then that quit, and now the leaves are, wind's gone back out of the north, so the leaves are going to be on the ground before the day's out.
Right. It's a perfect day to watch the weather. We can see out here all the, you know, all the girls that were girls on the run. I mean, they all have their umbrellas out, and I mean, we've seen dark clouds come over, poured for a few minutes, then stopped, then poured again. So we're having the same thing here downtown.
Well, you'll have more on the way.
All right, great. Well, thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
Yep, and now let's go to South St. Louis, and that's where Pat lives. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good.
Well, I have a question. I came out here this morning with the idea that I was going to trim my hydrangea bush because it's huge, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the heebie-jeebies, and I was afraid that I'm going to kill it. So it's still getting leaves. It's got leaves sprouting on it, and it's got little bitty flowers, and what should I do?
Just leave it alone.
Leave it alone?
Yep. Let Mother Nature take care of it. And then in the springtime, when the new growth starts, you know, coming out, anything that doesn't produce any new growth, just cut that off.
Oh, okay, because I got really nervous. Let me ask you this. I think it's too late to be nervous about this, but a couple of weeks ago I trimmed my oak leaf hydrangea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't have it up way down, but it's got pretty tall sticks. Do you think that'll come back?
It should. I mean, they're pretty, you know, the hydrangeas are tough. It's just, you know, with all this pruning that everybody continues to do, you knock it out of the sequence as far as the blooming goes. You know, there's so many people that call to this show and say, I've got great leaves and no flowers. That's because they pruned it at the wrong time, for the most part. So
when is the best time to prune it?
I would say don't. I continue to say don't prune hydrangeas. Leave them alone. And if it's one like oak leaf hydrangea, which can get 10 to 12 feet, that was just
huge.
A bad, you know, bad decision to buy one that's going to get that big if you put it and plant it in a spot that you don't want something to be that big. But you can, you can prune, but just realize that if you do prune and you got 10 sticks coming up out of the ground on anything, only prune back 5 of them. That way, the other 5 that have continued to be this right height or the existing height, that has a potential to give you flowers for the next season.
Oh, and these are so pretty. They turn white, then pink, then purple. Well, they're... Okay, every year I go through this. I can't remember what I did the year before.
Just don't do anything.
All right, that's fine with me. It's raining like a son of a gun. Okay,
great.
Thank you, Mike.
Sure. And now let's go to Matt in St. Louis. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Mike. Kind of a similar question to what just happened, I guess. At my grandfather's house in St. Anne, we have some Rose of Sharon bushes they've gotten a little big for where we planted them. They're pretty old. They're probably about 20 years old. They've been there a long time. So is that something we can trim down and it will still bloom, or are they pretty much, if we trim those, they're pretty much done for?
No, they're not done for. It's just, you know, when you just cutting them back, Rose of Sharon are pretty tough. They're summer bloomers. So all you have to do is make sure that you prune them between you know, sometime in the before the new growth begins in the springtime. So the new growth in the spring is only going to be leaves. And then, you know, the leaves are going to come out. They're going to be full size leaves. And then, you know, June, that's when the flower buds start happening.
And, I mean, how much could we take off and be okay, you think?
I would say no more than a third.
Okay, no more than a third.
Right.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Certainly. Now let's go to Mike, and Mike lives in Wildwood. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike, quick question.
Sure.
Wintertime lawn, is it better to keep the grass long or short, and what height do you recommend to keep it at?
Now, are we talking about cool season lawn, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Okay. Like 3 or 3.5 inches. If you let it get too long, it can get matted down and it could create a major fungus problem. If you cut it too short, then the crown of the plant's more exposed. And if we have cold, severe weather, then the crowns could be damaged. So I like 3 or 3.5 inches.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. And now let's see. Paul is going to be our last call. Paul lives in Baldwin. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I planted a blue spruce about 2 years ago, and it got new growth and was doing well and everything, and I watered it a little bit in the summer, and it's now it's got brown needles all the way through it from the inside out.
And all the way from the trunk to the tips of the branches?
Pardon me?
All the needles are brown all the way from the trunk to the tips of the branches?
Yeah, and there's still a lot of good stuff on the outside, but from the inside out.
Yeah, well, the interior needles going brown on an evergreen, this is something that normally happens. Just so the ends of the branches, the ones that are the furthest extension, are, you know, still, you know, color, you know, they still have needles on them that are viable. But the inside of all evergreens lose their needles.
Yeah, but this, I mean, it goes almost all the way to the end of the tips, and there's a couple of the branches that lost everything.
So if any branch has lost everything, in reality, you might as well just cut that branch off because it's never going to produce any more needles in the future.
Okay, and I put some root stimulator, you know, once a week for a month. They told me to do that. I don't know, did that help it, I hope?
Probably not, but...
Okay, that's good. Okay, so just trim all the ones that are totally dead?
Yes.
Okay, and I have one more question.
Okay.
I seeded my front yard, and I tilled it up and did all kinds of stuff, and I've cut the grass twice. So I put some fertilizer on it through the winter or anything, or just let it go?
If you got some winterizer fertilizer, you could certainly get it down if you cut it twice.
Okay.
And then, okay. You know, this would be the last month you're going to do any kind of fertilizer application, even on a cool season lawn.
Okay. So I should fertilize it one time.
Right. One more time.
Okay. And then just trim off the branches on my blue spruce.
Right. Anything that's the tips are brown, that's a dead branch. There's no getting around it.
Okay. There's a lot of them.
Oh, gosh.
And though there was a nice tree until over the summer, I guess, but right. I wanted it. Enough, I thought, but maybe not.
Yeah, so this summer was really kind of disastrous for certain things, especially anything that had been planted within the last 2 years.
Okay. Okay, I guess we'll see what happens to it.
Yep, good luck with that, and thanks to everybody for calling in. I greatly appreciate it. And again, I mean, I can't believe how many, this must be the hydrangea capital of the world. We get so many hydrangea calls, and everybody should just stop pruning hydrangeas. And if you're thinking about buying a hydrangea, find out what variety it is. Ask a lot of questions on how big it's going to be so you can have it planted someplace that it's going to really do well. And you're not going to have to always be concerned with it blocking a sidewalk, scratching your car, doing this, doing that, getting too big. Because hydrangeas, I mean, some of them stay relatively small. The majority of them get pretty darn big. So that's why, you know, we just don't do any research. We don't think about mature sizes of things. And it just creates a nightmare, an emotional nightmare, a physical nightmare to keep up with it and everything else. And as I look out the windows here downtown, it is pouring rain. I mean, it is super hard. And I mean, it is absolutely unbelievable. So wherever you happen to live, it may be not to you yet. But this is the screwy stuff that we're talking about today on how this weather's going to be. So Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, I will not be around next week.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh,
yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!